Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you so much, Pastor Rebecca. The children were awesome. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. I won't even try to top that. My Lord in heaven. Were they preaching? Glory to God. I pronounce a blessing over every child that participated in that. Father, I believe the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Father, will grow them into their gifts and their callings, Father. Father, I thank you for their service, and I'm asking that you honor their service by calling Jesus Christ Lord of their life, Father. They were proclaiming the gospel, preaching the good news of Christ being a Savior. Father, I ask that you bless each and every one of them, all of them that performed in the production, Father, from the platform, from the praise and worship, and to the children, Father. Bless them in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Well, if you would, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, glory, glory. What I believe I'm getting from the Holy Spirit is I'm going to minister a little bit about the love of God, talk about the love of God, and believe the Holy Spirit's going to enlighten the eyes of your understanding. You're going to see something you've never seen before about the love of God. You believe that with me? I don't believe we'll ever get bored in heaven of the love of God. So it allows me to believe, God, there's just more for me in the love of God down here on earth. If He's going to keep it forever being unboring to us, never weakening, never failing in heaven, then there's more that I can reach for in this earth about His love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. To be honest with you, sometimes I like to get to an end of a series, but this series will never end. You understand what I'm saying to you? It may have been a moment of study where we pull scriptures and look at scriptures for reproof and correction and guidance and the love of God, but this is who we are. This is what Christians are. This is what is on the inside of us. This is what God is. He is love. And so, as we conclude here, as far as the study goes, we never conclude in the love of God in our walk. Hallelujah. So let's look at it. It says, verse 8 says, charity never faileth, out of the King James. Others talk about love never fails. Well, one of the things you got to understand is the word faileth. I think a lot of times we've gotten in this society where failure is pretty common. What are you saying, Pastor? Man, we don't even have winners anymore. We give everybody trophies. We just kind of minimize victory. Because we don't want to hurt nobody's feeling if they're failing. So I think as Christians, in this church in particular, I don't believe we have a hard time understanding that God never fails. But I believe sometimes people minimize failure in our society. If you think about the Word of God where He talks about we're the head and not the tail, we're over and not beneath, and He always causes us a triumph. If He calls me more than a conqueror, there are things I'm conquering, there's things I'm victorious over, and it's not that I'm failing. This room here is full of a bunch of conquerors. This room here is full of a bunch of heads. This room here is full of people who are victorious. Why? Because of the love of God that's in you. See, the amazing part about this is, let's just look at some definitions of the word fail. So I'm going to just take the Webster's to start with, but I'm going to move into the strong, exhaustive concordance of the Bible. But the Webster says to fail is to fall short of success or achievement, to be or become deficient or lacking or being insignificant or insufficient, to dwindle, pass, or die away, to lose strength, become weak, to become unable to meet or pay debts or obligations, to break, bend, or crush, or to be destroyed under excess load or pressure, to stop, to be bad or an inferior quality. That's the Webster's. Now, the Strong says it this way out of the Greek. It says it never falls off and it never runs aground, as in to be dashed upon the stones or rock or the reef. In other words, the way the Greek says it is, your love never fails, is that it always keeps you afloat. It never is shipwrecked, and it doesn't fall to pieces. That's what the Greek says. So now Jesus, in his own words, says love never fails. And he says, Andy, this is in you. When you accept Christ Jesus, the word, they came and ministered. The word Jesus alone means Jehovah is Savior. It also means Joseph, but the word Jesus and Joseph together means Jehovah is Savior. In other words, Jesus didn't just come to the world to be a name that we could celebrate once a year. But Jesus came into the world to save us from failure. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all men have fallen short, which is failure, of the glory of God because of sin. But Jesus was put in the world to restore us from failure. The love that never fails is in you. But Pastor, you don't understand. I've run out on stuff. I've quit stuff. I've done stuff. Stop. I love you. It's like a woman at the well, right? You know. Don't do it no more. Sin no more and go your way. I don't condemn you. In other words, if we keep looking back at where we didn't walk in the love of God, because every time we fail, someone or both parties or all parties are involved in not walking in the love of God. Pastor, come on now. No, I'm serious. Because my love from my Savior is incapable of not being successful in accomplishing and achieving. So if I'm not successful, if I'm not achieving, if I'm not winning, it's because I am not walking in the love that He has for me already. I have stepped out. So now he tells me, Andy, my love never fails. This is in me. Because listen, if love had an ability to fail, how could you count on him for eternity? How could you count on him to be your Savior? In other words, you should be believing that he is going to cause you to achieve and be successful and change your life around and restore you and heal you. In other words, you should be believing the love of God is incapable of not achieving what it was said it was going to do. Pastor, the amazing part about this is, it's like I said Wednesday night, I go to minister on the love of God, it gets quiet. I love you. Listen, I'm trying to liberate you through the Spirit of the Lord. What is that? This is the greatest message I've ever heard in my life. What are you saying? He's telling me that he has put love in me that never fails. I have failed in my past without walking with him. I didn't say I don't have tests and trials and things that come against me now. But what I will tell you is I win. Because the love of God in me is incapable of not succeeding. Now, I am. If I turn around in my own strength, I'm very capable of failing. I'm very capable of being insufficient. I'm very capable of making this a mess. I'm very capable of lacking something. I'm very capable of not doing what God said or asked me to do and achieving what He's asked me to do. If I get in myself or the love this world has, I stay in the love of my Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it never fails. Pastor, you don't understand how tough my life has been. I mean, you don't know where I've come from. I tried living like you did. I promise you. I can take you to Scripture after Scripture where it says every one of us in this room have the same origin. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 4. What did it say? We all had our conversation in the past with the adversary of this world. And we all have been on a course set by this world. Every one of us in this room. But in verse 4 it says, but God, who was rich in his mercies wherewith he loved us. God showed up with his love. What was it? Jesus Christ our Savior. Ephesians 2, 4. So in other words, he says, every one of us in this room have been in the part where we were failures or come short of the glory of God. But he said, now your Savior showed up with the love that's incapable of failure. Pastor Trey sat right there and told us, he says, one of the things you're going to have to do is, if you're a believer, is believe God. You got to have faith in God. If you don't believe that Jesus is incapable of failing you, or saving you, or delivering you, are causing you to be a success or to achieve, you won't get it. You'll keep getting what you've got. But I choose to believe my Jesus came to rescue me, spirit, soul, and body. There's nothing that Jesus did not appropriate or pay for in this love that he has for us. One of the definitions that Webster says, it never fails to meet its obligation or pay its debt. Wow. Pastor, you don't know how bad debt I am. Now I know who can get you out. Testimony. Most of it my doing, because I wasn't walking in this love. To me, the love of God is the most exciting part of the gospel. Why? I'm not trying to live up to this. Most people, when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8, we look at it and we go, oh my God, I am so short of doing that. And what I get out of it is, this is in me. This is who I am. And I look more like that every day. Just chew on the first verse. He's long-suffering and kind. In other words, he didn't say I'm short and ill-tempered about it. In other words, I give you one shot and this baby's over. That's not what my God said. My God's put up with me for years. Probably, if I had to talk about it, more, almost over 40. And he just kept being loving, patient, long-suffering, and kind to me. When you go to talking to me about the Word of God where our pastor's ministering from the platform, God is so good to me. My God loves me. That's why I can believe he's good to me. I know he loves me. Let's look at a few scriptures about not failing. So the first thing he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, he says, my love never fails. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I'm expecting it to make heaven a real success. I'm actually expecting it to make my life a big success. What did he tell us to pray? Huh? The will of heaven to be done on earth. Wow. Chew on that a minute. So let's look at, let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. What are we talking about? Savior. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. As I was reading this and studying this, I took it for myself. I took it for our church. It's going to be one of the things I start praying. I've got a list of them, the people that have been hanging around with me, the staff and pastors and stuff. I've got a list that I'm praying over the church. This is now going to be part of my prayer. And said, and David said unto Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Most of y'all know what Nike is. Just do it. Right? Jesus said the same thing through the Holy Spirit. Just do it. You can do it. Why? Your Savior showed up, and he put the same love that's in him in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. He didn't leave you helpless. The Savior came to save you. You're not hanging on to the cross until you either go home or he comes back. What he did was saved, rescued you, then put him in you so that you could rule and reign in this life. We're an army on the move, and it's increasing. The kingdom of God is winning. It's not losing. I don't care how much the world huffs and puffs. I don't care how much TV time they get. I don't care how much radio time they get. I'm telling you, the body of Christ is winning. This church wins. My Savior comes back. He's never lost. There's no way he can lose. The love of God in him never fails. It'll always succeed and achieve what he set it out to do. He's coming back for his church. And we won't be wimpy and losing. Why? Because we're going to love you. There's nothing weak about it. He says, so do it. Do what? Love me, love others. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the works for the service of the house of God. My God will not fail me. If you believe the same thing, then you're not capable of not being success and achievement. I didn't say there'd be pressures against you. I didn't say it wouldn't be easy. But I'm telling you, you will not lose. And you will overcome some. If he calls you an overcomer, there's something you got to overcome. If he calls you more than a conqueror, there's something you got to conquer. But he's more than able, through his grace, his love, to see to it that the word that he spoke over you is a success. Watch. So, man, I'm taking this one. This one's mine. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me until thou hast finished all the works of the service of the house of God. And behold, the course of the priests and the Levites, and even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. Chew on that a minute. What did he just say? He says God's not only not going to fail you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he's going to surround you with people in your weakness or the areas of things you need. Even the ministers are in this room, the priests that he's talking about. If you're a man or woman of God who are ministers, he said he's going to put people around you, skillful. And he's going to anoint them, and he's not even going to leave you nor forsake you. He will cause you to be victorious. It's his doing, not yours. This is where it gets really good. Because what I've finally learned over the years is the rules of engagement. For us military people in here, we kind of get a little glimpse of that. What is it? Man, I got to know what I'm doing when I enter the ring. Is this an MMA fight, or is this boxing, or is this wrestling? Because there's rules to it. There's laws to it. The amazing part about the fight that you have, the battle's not yours, but the Lord's. But he said you will have to fight a good fight of faith. The only thing you've got to do as a believer is walk in the love of God and believe God. That's it. Don't try to muster nothing up on your own. Don't try to achieve nothing on your own. Don't rely on your brain. Lean not to your understanding, but lean unto God and believe God, right? You're going to have to believe and hear from God from your spirit, which is full of the love of God, and that love is incapable of failure. Pastor, you don't know how many times I've been bankrupt. So, repent. Lord, show me where I didn't walk in love. Move on. Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Repent. Don't look back. Move on. You can't do nothing about it back here anyway. This is what liberated me, because there's nothing I can do about my past. Either I can stay and wallow in it and keep being a failure and unsuccessful, or I can believe God has cleansed me of my past, whatever area I did not walk in love, and he can move me forward in the love of God and cause me to be successful, not of myself, but of the love that's in me. In other words, it's him that's greater in me than he that's in this world. There is someone in this world, and he will work you over thoroughly if we're not in the love of God. Amazing part about it is, sons and daughters of God, we got a head up on everybody, because you have the mouth to use and believe and speak. your authority and your dominion over the adversary. You get so much more from the Word of God than most Christians across the United States are getting today. An anointed Word of God being ministered to you about life and what you can do in life to change your circumstances. Repent, change, be converted so that you can strengthen other brethren. Glory to God. So he tells me, I will not fail you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20. Look at Joshua 1:5. Joshua 1:5. Amazing part about 1 Chronicles 28, 20. He's talking about accomplishing or being successful in a mission or a task God's given you. Particular minister he's speaking to is Solomon, and he's telling him the task you have of building the house of God will get done by God. Now we're fixing to talk about the position of authority. So now he takes care of the task, the job. Now he's going to take care of the authority. You understand, as leaders, that's everything. If he's taking care of the task or the assignment, or what you've been given by God, and then he tells you about the authority, and he handles the authority and the task, all you got left is believe him. Love him and believe him. So he tells Joshua, he said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto thy fathers to give thee. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. In other words, here's how he said this new covenant. First thing he says, you can't have fear in your life, and you got to be strong. First, you got to be strong before fear. He didn't say be courageous and strong. He said be strong, then courageous. You'll never find someone who's courageous without strength. Because if your strength has dwindled, you're already struggling in being courageous. You can't get to courageous and be weak. Courageous is the absence of fear. Everywhere Jesus showed up, he said, fear not, be not afraid. It's not an option as believers. Jesus gave it as a commandment. He said, I don't want you afraid. When you're afraid, you can't follow me. When you're scared, you can't move. But I want you to know, I want you to be strong, and I want you to be courageous. So there must be a way that I can be both. Well, the amazing part about that is I get an insight. He says, the Lord is my strength, or he says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if I'm happy, laughing, and full of joy in God, I'm strong. Some people look at you really funny when you go to laughing at things, right? You can laugh all you want to. I'll try that one more time. That didn't go over too well. That was supposed to be like a joke. You can laugh all you want to. You ought to see Christians, man. They come in here, man, and, you know, the world's worked them over there, beat up, and got this long face on their face like them. I'm trying to breathe, Pastor. I think he's ministering the Word of God, but I'm trying to believe, Pastor. Don't believe me. You trying to believe, Pastor? Don't believe me. If I'm not ministering the Word of God, find you another church. I love you. Don't go to a church where they're not ministering the Word of God. But the Word of God says to me that you can believe Jesus, which was the Word made flesh and dwelt among you. Jesus was your Savior. You want to believe somebody? Believe Jesus. You want to believe something? Believe the Word. Make sure it's in the Word. So what did the Word say? He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't feel like joy. I don't feel like joy, Pastor. I don't care what you feel like. I'm not moved by how I feel. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm telling you, one of the hardest days I've had in the last decade or so in my lifetime was the day my dad passed away and my son got arrested. And I'm dancing harder than I've ever danced before in this church. You would have thought he'd lost his ever-loving mind. I did. I gave my dad to God and my mama to God. And then I gave my son to God and cast the care of all that situation on him. And I danced like I didn't worry about nothing. Why? I don't want to get weak. I get weak, I can't be courageous. And if I can't be courageous, I can't lead you. Because you're not going to follow somebody who's scared. And for me to encourage you means for me to be able to speak into you where it draws fear out of you. So if I'm going to encourage you, what I'm doing is, through the Holy Spirit, eliminating fears in your life. Why? Jesus said it, I didn't. He could have showed up and said a lot of things, but he said, the first thing you have to do is fear not. Be not afraid. It's me. Who's me? What is he to you? What is me to you? Is he your Savior, your Redeemer, your Deliverer, your Shield, your High Tower, your Refuge, your Fortress, your Healer, your Provider? What is your Savior to you? Because if he's not to you, he won't be. But the minute you believe God for him to be that to you, you give him access to move in the anointing of God for that to take place in your life. So he tells 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 20, and he tells Joshua the same thing. He said, I will never fail thee nor leave thee. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. And I will get out of the Old Testament, I promise. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. So he said, his love will never fail. Now he said, I'll never fail. He said, I will never fail. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not fail. Verse 56, 1 Kings 8, 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he had promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. Now he tells me there's not a word or a promise in the testaments, old or new, that he is going to let fall or fail. In other words, he just said to me, Andy, every word that's in my word that I have promised you, I am faithful to see it done in your life if you believe me for it. I believe the word lasts forever. I believe the love of God lasts forever. I believe his faithfulness lasts forever. I believe he will never leave me nor forsake me. I believe he lasts forever. His love never fails. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. He said, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, because they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the word Jesus is Jehovah, his Savior. Jehovah showed up. Jehovah showed up. Jehovah is the Father of Jesus. The Holy Spirit impregnated a virgin woman on this earth and had Christ born through that woman. That's why he alluded to himself as the Son of Man, and most times he was asked who they say he was. He alluded to the fact that he was a man, but he was always, always the Son and Savior of the Father Jehovah. He came to be your Savior and rescue you. The amazing part about his love, it just never fails. It's long-suffering and kind. patient. Glory to God. Look at Psalms 89:33. Psalms 89:33. He says, "Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that has gone out of my lips." Do you have faith in your God? Do you have faith in Jehovah? Do you believe everything that was ever uttered out of his lips, he's taken care of in your life? Do you believe it's his love that causes the success and the achievement? See, because if you believe it in your strength, you'll have difficulties having faith that God could work through you as a human. But if you're a born again son and daughter of God, and your spirit's recreated of the Spirit of God, if the Holy Ghost has breathed life into you, then you still have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelling in you. In other words, that Spirit of love never fails. You're a total new creature. And the first place he's going to work us over from the inside out is the love of God that's in us. I'm praying that it increases and abounds yet more and more, that we love everyone toward all men from this church. That's what I'm believing, that this is going to be one of the lovingest churches they've had in North Louisiana. Glory to God, and I already see it in you. I already see the change in you. I already see what the Holy Spirit and Christ Jesus is doing in your life. I see so many of you that God has brought so far this past year. He's not done. He will accomplish what he sent out to do in your life. He will perform that which he started in your life. That's an amazing statement by my God. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Look at verse 4 to God. Let me see which one I want to go to. Look at verse 31. He says, But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He talks about verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. So he's telling me in this scripture that his kingdom lasts forever, never fails. We'd already talked about it. It endureth forever. The kingdom or the government that was on Christ Jesus' back as a Savior born into this earth will never fail. And the main thing Christ is looking for is your heart into his kingdom. If you abide in the love that he's placed in you, your heart will be for the kingdom. The amazing part about this scripture, he's talking about all other things. Everything that you have a care or need of or a worry of in this life, he says, give it to me. Quit worrying about the clothing. Quit worrying about the house. Quit worrying about the kids. Quit worrying about tomorrow. Cast all this on me and come after me. He's saying, if you'll take the love that I've placed in you as a son and daughter of God, which never fails, and come after me with that love that I put in you, then I'll take care of all the other things. Pastor, I don't have time to do that. You'll hear him say, man, I don't have time to do that. I got 2 jobs, 3 jobs, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Well, here's what I want to say to you right before the holidays. Don't be like your pastor. And the fact that I was probably 34 or 35 before I finally prayed to God to ask him where I was supposed to be working, how much I was supposed to be working, and who I was supposed to be working for. Most of us just take jobs. We just go from here, go to there, go to find the one that's got the most pay, best benefits. We just hop, 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 hop. And we never stop and ask God, am I supposed to be doing this? Am I supposed to be in this job? Because if your heart's into God, God will put you in the place you need to be. He knows whether you need a job or not. He knows what job you need. He knows what job you need, I mean, what church you need to be at. Don't go after the mammon. Let the love of God that's in you, let that heart go after the kingdom of God, especially over the holidays, right? Because one of the aspects of the love of God is it pays all our debts and meets all our obligations. Glory to God. Luke chapter 22, verse 32, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to talk about it. Jesus is praying over Peter's faith. And he tells Peter, he says, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, the word of God, word converted means change or repent or to turn or converted. Strengthen the brethren. But the amazing part about this, Jesus says, who is faithful, who we read in the scripture, his faith never runs out. That's what he said. I believe it. But Jesus is in heaven praying for Peter that his Father bless him to the point where his faith doesn't run out. And I have the Word of God where it says Jesus is not a respecter of persons. So I'm going to be honest with you. I pray this daily over myself. Father, Jesus is praying that Andy's faith fail not. If he's coming back with the word faithful tattooed on him, he must be really planning on having it around for a long time. In other words, Jesus is not capable of not believing. What I say, you know, in this study, I told you, remarkable thing about your Savior, he believes in you. He died going to the cross believing in you. He didn't die going to the cross believing in himself. He believed in his Father, and he believed that everyone else would be a lot better off because he's doing this. He didn't die on the cross for himself. He died for others and for his Father. Why? Because he loved us and he was faithful. Here, I'm going to close out with the summary of what I said over 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, combining the definitions of failure. So here's how I put it, and I wrote it down. Love never falls short of success or achievement. Love never becomes deficient, lacking, or insignificant, or insufficient. Love never dwindles, passes, or dies away. Love never loses its strength or becomes weak. Love never becomes unable to meet, pay its debts or its obligations. Love never breaks, bends, crushes, or gets destroyed under an excess load or pressure. Love never stops functioning or operating. Love never becomes bad or of an inferior quality. My God is a God of love. My God is love. My God just gave you a description of himself and what he put in you. I challenge you as you go to moving forward in your Christian walk to view yourself as that love in you, not trying to obtain it. Move from the position of trying to live by it to the position I live from it. I said it one more time. I'm not trying to live by it as standards. I'm living from it because it's in me. My Savior, biggest thing he ever did for Andy Maddox, will save me with a love that says I'll never fail and it's always successful, always achieving, always operating, never becoming weak, never getting destroyed, never bending under pressure, never collapsing, never falling to pieces, never come shipwrecked, always keeps you afloat, Andy. My Savior showed up. He is my Savior. He does save me. Amazing part about it, he does it with love, long-suffering, patient, and kindness. It's amazing how my God loved me to pay for all these things and then put that love in me. The world had been lying to me for years, but I got a glimpse of the truth. The Holy Spirit removed the blinders off of me to see the love that he had for me. I'm believing each and every one of you. The Holy Spirit's removing blinders so that you can see the amazing love God has for you and the amazing love that Jesus has for you and the amazing love that He placed on the inside of you as believers. Glory to God. Pastor. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. You're mighty quiet. I think you're seeing what the Holy Spirit has for you. It's amazing how the children and everybody geared up over Christmas, over giving and the gifts, to the point that even in our society, not in this church, but in the society around us, they forget the biggest gift of all. Not here. Your God's so in love with you that He gave His only begotten Son. God's not playing with you. You're important to Him. He's got your picture on the palms of His hands. He knows the number of hairs on your head. It's personal. He didn't send a son to die for you and have a relationship that's impersonal. He wants you close. He wants you trusting in Him, believing in Him. He's so in love with you. He wants you to fall in love with Him. And when you fall in love with Him, then it becomes really easy to love other people. Most of us are struggling loving other people because we're not in love with Him. And we don't know the love that He's bestowed upon us. Or we don't know the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Jesus' love never fails, never runs out. It will keep us for eternity. If it'll keep you for eternity, it'll keep you now. Because the minute you got born again as sons and daughters of God, you entered a new life, a new creature. You are already of a born-again nature, never to die. The real you inside you is loaded with the love of God. That's why you became more than conquerors. It causes you to triumph. It causes you to be the head and not the tail. Why? It's Jesus, a gift from God. The Savior showed up to save us. He's so in love with us. Glory to God. If you would, bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, never called Him Lord of your life, never had an encounter with the love of God, would you raise your hand? Anybody? Across this room. Hallelujah. Well, here's what I get in my spirit. I want you to just stay with me here just a minute. Some of you are heavy. Holidays have not been too big of a joy to you over the years. Things have happened. Life's been tough. Things have come against you. If that's you right where you're at, I want you to raise your hand. Nothing. I'm fixing to pray for you. And then I'm going to pray for the rest of us. Hands all over. Glory to God. I'm going to pray for this first. Father, I thank You for Your Savior, Jesus. Jesus, You came to save us. So, Father, You saw the hands of those who these holidays have just been tough on them. Rough memories, past and things, Father. Jesus, rescue them. Change it from this day forward for these holidays. Father, let it become a memorial to You of a gift from You, Father. And let it become a memorial of how much You love them. And let them get an enthusiasm and a joy and a peace about the holidays again like they've never had before. Father, give them grace to put the past behind them. Give them grace to let bitterness and wrath and all things that have caused them unforgiveness to hold on to the past, Father. I believe Your grace right now. Jesus, rescue them. It's cleaning them of their past, so that their holidays can be a memorial to You and that they can fellowship with You and that they can love You again and have a blast over the holidays so that they can love other people around them and family. I believe the ones who raise their hands this holiday the grace of God will show up to start a new beginning for you. A new memorial of how much you love Him. A recollection of the gift that He's given you. And you'll always stay focused on Jesus being your Savior to rescue you. That's what I believe. For the rest of you, Father, here's what I'm praying. That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, Father, in the knowledge of You, which is Your love. I believe You're increasing us and giving us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You, Father. I believe, Father, that we see ourselves more and more in Christ Jesus. I believe we realize the love that's on the inside of us and how we become a light, a life unto this world. I believe we realize we're sons and daughters of God and we'll take our position because of the love that You've given us, the love that You bestowed upon us, the love that You shed abroad upon us by the Holy Spirit to enable us to walk in the same love by where You saved us. That's the gospel. I believe they're going to become attractive, a light for the world to see. They're going to be drawn. The world's going to be drawn unto them because of why? The love that's on the inside of them. It will start with the people closest to them first. They'll see the change in their life. Then it'll extend to family. Then it'll extend to neighbors. Then it'll extend to a community. Then it'll extend to a church. Then it'll extend to a town, a city, a parish, a state. I believe, Father, Your love wins and lasts forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Glory to God.